Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I think even those who were holdouts, who held out some kind of misguided hope that Roe could survive, are beginning to realize that it very well may not. There is a Supreme Court case that is currently under consideration to be announced this summer that would, if the court rules in favor of a Mississippi law about a gestational limit, could undo Roe v. Wade. And now even the most ardent abortion supporters are beginning to see they don't think it's a light at the end of the tunnel. They think it's just more darkness. And to that effect, Cecile Richards, who's a former president of Planned Parenthood, has written a New York Times op-ed titled, "The One Regret for My Time Leading Planned Parenthood." Carol Tobias joins us to talk about that op-ed. She's president of National Right to Life. Carol, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Before we get your reaction to that op-ed in the New York Times, how did the D.C. March for Life go on Friday?
It was fantastic. Based on, I guess, COVID, some concerns about that, as well as the cold weather, I wasn't sure what kind of crowd to expect, but it was massive. And mostly young people. I mean, granted, it's probably a lot of schools that just let their kids take the day off and, you know, they brought buses, but it was an unusually young crowd and just very impressive and just very exciting to see all that enthusiasm.
What is your reaction to Cecile Richards' op-ed in the New York Times, "The One Regret for My Time Leading Planned Parenthood"?
I wasn't surprised. The abortion industry, and Cecile Richards is still an important factor in that, even though she's no longer head of Planned Parenthood, but they are going to be pushing hard against any and all pro-life Republicans in this election, and quite frankly, any Republicans, because the party has a stand, and if Republicans are in control, then pro-life laws are more likely to be passed. So they are going to be doing this kind of thing for the next several months, just to demonize Republicans and the Republican Party, hoping that it will influence the elections in November.
Richards frames abortion as health care throughout the op-ed. How do you respond to that?
In every abortion, when a woman enters into the abortion facility, there are two patients, two human beings. One of them, the purpose is for that, you know, one human being, the smallest one, to end up dead. And unfortunately, a lot of the women, the mothers, are also injured, whether it is physically, it might more so often be psychologically, emotionally, but that's certainly not health care. There is nothing healthy about an abortion for mother or child.
Richards credits Roe v. Wade with improving women's lives. Is this true?
No, I think it is an excuse for the so-called women's movement, because they have failed. Women should be able to have children, raise a family, and pursue a career if they want. By pushing abortion, the abortion industry and Richards is saying that women can succeed only if they kill their children. That is a complete failure of the women's movement. So I think they should just acknowledge that and try to figure out how to help women have babies and do other things in their lives if they want to.
Richards recounts a meeting with Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner in which they allegedly promised to increase funding for Planned Parenthood if the organization stopped doing abortions. If true, why would Planned Parenthood pass up increased federal funding?
Because Planned Parenthood is abortion. Almost all they do is abortion and contraceptives, birth control. They might talk about cancer screenings and mammograms, but that is such a small part of what they do that by Jared and Ivanka going in and saying, if you stop doing abortions, you know, you can get more money, that would be basically telling them to close their doors, because that is their sole purpose for existing. They want to do abortions. They want no limits on what they can do, and they are not going to accept anything less than full, unrestricted abortion on demand for all 9 months of pregnancy.
Richard also claims that the division in public opinion over abortion is a myth. How do you respond to that?
It isn't a myth. The country is very divided. Most polls will show that people think abortion should be, I mean, you could kind of divide them into two camps, either very limited, either no abortions whatsoever, life of the mother only, or life, rape, incest, which is going to take up maybe 1-2% of all abortions, or everything else, abortion legal for 3 months, 6 months, for any reason. The country is very divided. Now, what Richards has done is just kind of pull out those who want very narrow exceptions, maybe life of the mother only and no abortion whatsoever. And she's trying to say that everybody else wants exceptions. You know, they want abortion, but her numbers are just fabrications. I mean, you can work any poll to get any number you want, but this country is, and I would say quite evenly divided between whether or not unborn children should be protected.
What do you expect Planned Parenthood to do when and if Roe is overturned?
If Roe is overturned, the abortion battle will end up in 50 state legislatures. And I would expect Planned Parenthood to have a presence in probably all 50, or at least most of them. They are going to be working to protect the right to kill unborn children in all 50 states. They're not going to give up this battle easily. They're not just going to say, okay, the Supreme Court has spoken. We've got several states that want to protect babies. We're going to wash our hands and we'll work on New York and California and maybe Illinois and a couple other states. They're not going to do that. Planned Parenthood will be fighting in every state capital to keep abortion legal for as far into the pregnancy as they can get legislators to agree.
Is it possible to federally defund Planned Parenthood?
It certainly is. We saw them lose a lot of their funding when, quite frankly, Republicans had control of the House, Senate, and President Trump in office. It can be done, but it is certainly more difficult when you need to get, quite frankly, House, Senate, and President. But that's something that I think every pro-lifer would love to see and will continue to work on.
I recently spoke with Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute about the fall of Roe, and he said that the real debate over abortion is just beginning post-Roe. Do you agree?
I do. Like I said, if Roe is overturned, it's going to be back to the 50 states, and then it is going to be more a question of, are we going to protect all unborn children? There will be a lot of discussion. If a child has some kind of anomaly or going to have any kind of disability, should the mother be able to get an abortion? If the child has been conceived as a result of rape or incest, can the mother get an abortion, or does that child have the right to life? So we are going to see those kinds of discussions. Right now, it's almost kind of on an academic level because of Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton. We really can't protect unborn children for the most part throughout pregnancy. Once you start getting down to, can we stop all abortions? Can we protect all children? The discussion is going to get much more animated and much more serious because it could actually happen, as opposed to just being kind of theory. What could we do or would we do if the court had overturned Roe? So yes, the debate and the battles will really just begin if Roe is overturned.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life. You'll find a link to National Right to Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Carol, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Up next, it's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week on this Monday afternoon, live January the 24th. You can vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE. We'll play the sound bites for you right after this.
Oh, Morning Star, oh, Morning Star. Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Is James' teaching on faith, works, and justification reconcilable with the rest of Scripture? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is the new Concordia Commentary on James. It's written by Issues Etc. guest Dr. Curtis Giese. The Concordia Commentary on James is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Concordia Commentary on James, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
This is Deaconess Betsy Dodgers at Concordia University Chicago, inviting all high school students to attend the annual Careers for Christ weekend in person on our beautiful campus in River Forest. Careers for Christ is February 4th through 6th. You'll have the opportunity to learn about professional church vocations while having fun with CUC staff, faculty, and students. For more information, visit cuchicago.edu/C4C.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.